May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Roger tells me that some years ago he was working at Camp Arrowhead in Delaware. He worked in the kitchen, and the Lutherans would come to the camp.
Camp Kenoy.
All right, Camp Kenoy. In Maryland. Okay. We've got to get it right. Camp Kenoy in Maryland. This is going to take a while, guys, so just settle down. Camp Kenoy in Maryland. He worked in the kitchen, and the Lutherans would come for a week here and there in the summer. Well, one of those summers, when the Lutherans came, the last day of the Lutheran week was Sadie Hawkins Day, which meant that when the bugle sounded after everyone had finished eating, then the girls, and they were girls at this point, could chase the boys instead of the other way around. This was in the 1950s? Yes, okay. And if a girl caught you and you were a boy, then the girl could draw her initials on your forehead, and that meant you were her guy for the evening. Well, late afternoon one day, the last day of the Lutheran week, Roger was hanging around by the pier down by the lake, and here comes Marlene. And Marlene says, "Roger, if I chase you tonight, will you let me catch you?" And Roger says, "Maybe I will, and maybe I won't." So Marlene goes to Roger's boss in the kitchen, and she says to Roger's boss, "Can you hold Roger for me so I can catch him?" And Roger's boss, "I can't do that to Roger, but I'll send him out with the trash when the bugle sounds, and maybe you can catch him then." So sure enough, here comes dinner, and after dinner, the bugle sounds, and they lock the doors. They did. All of the doors to the mess hall were locked, except for the door out to take out the trash. So here goes, and so the bugle sound, and the inevitable pandemonium ensues, and the boss in the kitchen says, "Roger, why don't you take this trash out for me?" So Roger, he gets the trash, he's going out the back door, and there's Marlene. And Marlene starts chasing after Roger, and Roger is just about to get away when Marlene says, "Oh, come on!" And Roger goes, okay. And that was their first date. So if you're looking for a spouse, get out your lipstick. I will not presume to tell all the Marlene stories, because you all know so many more than I do. I do tell this one in order to make clear one thing that's been apparent to me in the few years that I've known her. Marlene got things done. And if you wanted to get it done, you give it to Marlene. And Marlene did not take no for an answer easily. Most of us have had the experience of being voluntold by Marlene. Yes. I would like to honor some of the aspects, the many hundreds and even thousands of ways that she showed the love and the glory of God in this world. She loved children. She loved her children. She loved her grandchildren. She still does. She loved the children that she taught in elementary school for decades and decades. She was wise and would speak kindness and wisdom when it was needed most. She would organize people to get all kinds of stuff done. She would get people together to put together hygiene packs for refugee families, to put together Thanksgiving baskets for St. Matthew's area ministries. And she had this way of speaking to you plainly. She was down to earth and real. She did not put on a face. And yet she was able to speak to you plainly, tell you what she was really thinking, and at the same time show respect for who you were as a person. As a person who holds the image of God in you. This is a very difficult thing to do. But she could do that. She did it to me on more than one occasion. She was a great lady. And a powerful, powerful servant of God. And now, she's gone. As if into thin air. All at once. Unexpected, unplanned. Unknown. This is the kind of situation where we find ourselves in shock. Blindsided. And our minds whirl because we are not ready yet to wrap ourselves around this ridiculous thing. How can she have died? She was up and about and moving back and forth with her energy and power just a few days ago. When we are in shock, a couple of things can happen. One thing is, we focus on what has to be done right now because it's got to be done right now. This is useful. This is why God gave us shock. So in the moment of crisis, in the moment of difficulty, we can still take care of that which is absolutely essential, like finals or like the details. Those are important. But we don't yet have the loss in our minds. Sometimes when we are in shock, we stare at the wall. And we can't really think. You find yourself staring at the wall and not thinking from time to time in the next few weeks. That's natural. That's a part of the process. That's part of grief. And then we move into understanding what has happened and out of it. Move into it and out of it. We wrap ourselves around to it bit by bit. Because it's hard to take in the whole thing at once. It's like when you get slapped in the face and it's numb. And then it starts to hurt. The shock is when it's numb. And then it starts to hurt. And it hurts. Because even though we believe and we trust that Marlene is in heaven with God, more about that in a minute, she still leaves an empty place in our souls where she once was. And that's going to ache. We might feel sad. We might cry. We might feel angry, furious. I want my mother back. I want my grandmother back. I want my wife back. I want my friend back. Where did she go? Why did you take her? It's okay. That's part of the process too. We feel the feelings. And if we have people we trust to share, we share the feelings with others. And we listen to each other. And the feelings are okay. Those feelings are okay. As long as we understand that there is something deeper than the feelings. There is a power and a life and a hope and a love in this world that is deeper than death. And that's why we can feel. So we got back and forth between feeling and doing. feeling and doing. The things that need to be done in our days and take some time to feel the loss. And the things that need to be done in our days and take some time to feel the loss. We go back and forth. Don't get stuck in one and don't get stuck in the other. Okay? We read today the 23rd Psalm. One of the reasons why the 23rd Psalm is read very often in funerals is this verse that you may remember. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for God is with me. Marlene knew that God was with her. She knew that God was with her when she was laughing, when she was at the Derby Dinner Playhouse, or whether she was at one of the women's luncheons, or she was with you. She would laugh, and she knew that God was with her. She knew that God was with her when she was weeping, when she walked through the valley of the shadow of death, when she found out that Lynn's cancer was getting worse and it wouldn't get better, when she found out that her friends here at St. John and elsewhere had died. She would weep, but she knew that God was with her. Well, God is with you too. No matter who you are or where you are in life or how you feel or even what you think about God, God is still there with you, and God still loves you and will love you forever and ever. So it's okay to weep. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Marlene is with Jesus now. And by the way, Jesus is with us. So Marlene is not gone after all. She is just present in a way that we are not comfortable with and we are not familiar with, in a way that we don't know, but she's still here. Don't be surprised if you feel it sometime or other. Marlene is with Jesus in heaven also. So I wouldn't be surprised if she was playing games with the children of heaven or having lunch with Lynn. I am pretty sure that she sees the light of God's compassion, which she has shown to so many people. And I am fairly convinced that she waits for us at the feast. Probably directing the angels in the decorations for the feast and making sure that the streamers go from that ceiling to that ceiling, the angels flying around up there, and probably a whole bunch of other people who have gone before us helping out there, chittering and chattering and talking away happily, because guess what? They see the day. They see the day when there will be healing and hope and light and peace and beauty and love, where love wins. They see that day even if we can't. They understand the depths of God's saving even when we can only glimpse it. God holds Marlene in God's hands. God holds you in God's hands too. God carried Marlene through the valley of the shadow of death. God will carry you through too. So be with each other. Be yourselves with each other. Tell your stories. Tell how you feel. Help each other to get the necessary things done. Live the love of God. And be of good heart. Be about the business of practical love, as Marlene was. Because this is not the end. This is the beginning. And if we want to be connected with that beginning, we remember the one who is with us right now, this day, and forever.